Why don't we get started? Good morning and welcome to the Finance Administration Committee. Before we begin, I'd like to allow Mr. Doherty to present today's safety context. Mr. Doherty.
Good morning, Chairman Acosta, members of the board. Just as a reminder, in the event the fire alarm goes off, the emergency exits are labeled behind me, in front of me, or to my right, and ask that you exit through the front doors of the building, cross 5th Street, and assemble in the area of the Green School at the National Building Museum. Our safety contact this morning is swim safety. We all know that swimming is a great recreational sport for people of all ages, but it's important to remember some safety tips by the American Red Cross. And we'd ask that you swim in designated areas supervised by lifeguards. Never leave a young child unattended near water, and do not trust a child's life to another child. Have young children or inexperienced swimmers wear Coast Guard approved life vests. Make sure everyone in your family learns to swim well. If you have a pool, secure it with the appropriate barriers and avoid distractions while supervising children around water. If a child is missing, check the water first. Seconds count. Have appropriate equipment that allows you to reach or throw equipment and a cell phone to call for an emergency. And also, protect your skin, limit the amount of direct sunlight you receive between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., and it's best to use a suntan lotion of at least 15 SPF. 30 would probably be better. And lastly, drink plenty of water, you know, even if you're not thirsty, because you want to remain hydrated. And that concludes our safety contact for this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty. Before you is a proposed agenda of today's meeting. Are there any questions or additions to the agenda? If not, we'll move forward with the agenda as presented. Next up is the approval of the June 13 minutes. Moved by Mr. Bolger. Second by Ms. Hines. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes pass. Today we have two items to cover. The first is an action item that will enhance bus service for the opening of the new Coast Guard headquarters. Jack Requa is here today to seek our approval of a reimbursable agreement with the United States Coast Guard. The second is an informational item that continues our work on the Momentum Plan. Specifically, management has developed a key performance indicator to measure our progress in achieving the strategic goal of connecting communities. As you may remember, this goal presented some challenges, and we asked staff to be creative in developing measures for this goal. With that, I'll allow Mr. Requa to present the first item.
Good morning, and thank you. As Mr. Acosta said, we're here today to ask for the committee's approval to authorize the general manager to execute an agreement with the Department of Defense to provide non-regional bus services to the new Coast Guard facility along South Capitol Street between Anacostia and our Shepherd Parkway bus facility, and also to establish a fare buy-down program for all of the services that the Coast Guard will be providing. The staff has been working with the Coast Guard in the development of the St. Elizabeth site for over 6 years, and we're very pleased. I know the next item on the agenda is connecting communities, but I think we've had the opportunity to work with the Coast Guard, have an expectation that we can be there day one when they open and support them in trying to achieve a 40% transit mode in connecting this new community to Anacostia Station and to LaFont. We would be extending current bus routes to the facility, so we'd be providing service from Anacostia and from LaFont. The Coast Guard would be funding the entire agreement, and their employees would ride free, but they would be supporting the fare buy down in that situation, and they would be providing all subsidies for the services that are provided. In addition, as we did with the MARP service that we recently implemented along 395, they'll also be funding giving us capital funds to purchase buses for the required buses that we need to support this service. So the next, this is a photo. If you can see the facility, it's on the side hill right off of South Capitol. It's a large development. About 4,000 employees are going to be there, and service is anticipated to begin in August to September of this year if the approval is received. And again, we're real excited about the opportunity to be there and to provide this alternative transportation day one. And we'd ask the committee for their approval to move this forward to the board for approval. If there's any questions, we'd be happy to try to answer it.
Thank you, Mr. Requa. Mr. Bolter.
Thanks, Jack, for the report. Where's the 6 buses coming from?
Well, we'll use current vehicles until we will put in an order to purchase the buses. They're providing the funding. So we'll use existing fleet until the new buses arrive. We recently awarded a new contract for vehicles. Okay. We'll add the buses to that order once we have approval.
So we'll get new buses pretty soon that'll be part of the...
Well, it'll be before the end of the fiscal year.
All right.
Mr. Downing?
I'm glad to see my former service stepping up to the plate here as an old Coast Guard officer. I hope, though, too, that this would set the pattern for DHS when additional officers move over to San Elizabeth. So.
Well, we think this, you know, should be successful, and it's a lot easier to be there day one than to try to get people to change their approach after they're already there coming by automobile. So I think by being there when they open, I think that we should have a good deal of success. And Coast Guard's excited about it, so are we, and we'll try to make it successful and hopefully, as you say, make it a good alternative for other development in that corridor.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Requa? I'll just add that I did have the opportunity to work on this project at the National Capital Planning Commission, and this was approved with a parking ratio of 1 space for every 4 employees. That also applies to the entire St. Elizabeth's campus. I do think and this is similar to the Mark Center.
Absolutely, exactly the same arrangements, the same type of agreement. Unfortunately, being the federal government, we can deal directly with them.
So. Right. So we have fairly stringent parking requirements, which kind of forces federal agencies to seek other means, including improved transit as well as carpooling and other non-single occupancy vehicle ways to approach things. So I'm very pleased to see that WMATA was able to secure this agreement, and I also thank the General Services Administration and Department of Homeland Security for
their work hard on this, and so we're excited about this starting up.
Great. So with that, I'd like to call this item. Entertain a motion. Move by Mr. Bolger.
Second.
Second by Ms. Porter. All in favor?
Aye.
That's better. It's approved. Next up is the informational item on connecting communities KPI. I'd like to call Mr.
Good morning, Chair Acosta and members of the committee. Shama and I are going to kind of tag team this presentation, and I wanted to kick it off by talking on the purpose that this morning, as you said, we're presenting a brand new key performance indicator as part of our Momentum strategic plan development. Next slide. Next slide, background. So with the adoption of the Momentum strategic plan and our 4 goals of safety, quality service, connecting communities, and financial stability and investment, the board's clearly set a direction for WMATA over the next decade. The key performance indicators that you track regularly, quarterly and annually via vital signs help you and our stakeholders to monitor in a very measured way our agency's progress towards these 4 goals. Next slide. Connecting communities. To date, this goal, the one that the board's talked about as being one that you sort of own, has not had its own measure. We've just had this little TBD in place of it. So staff has been working over the last half year to replace that TBD with a meaningful measure. So with the key performance indicator that Sean, my colleague, is gonna share with you today, we're now ready to replace that with the measure that's gonna help you, the board, measure progress towards our connecting communities goal. Sean?
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Chair Acosta. When we take a look at, if you go to the next slide, the purpose and mission of why it is we're measuring this, really you could understand that at the root of it, part of Metro's mission is to allow individuals, businesses, employers who are in the region to be able to access the portfolio of amenities that do exist within this region. Jobs, housing, retail, social, cultural, civic, institutional, recreational amenities in a variety of ways, including the transit network and including specifically to us the transit network that we provide and operate. And we can do that in a variety of ways. We can both agree that we are going to work to serve areas that are growing with transit service, and we can also agree to continue to provide an excellent level and consistently excellent level of service to areas that we can already serve. And if we do those things, we will see the following. We'll see one of two effects. We'll see A, ridership increase because we are providing a better product in the marketplace in areas that we serve, and we should see a market response as well in the marketplace because future growth, as this region continues to grow, a greater and greater share of that future growth will choose to locate in proximate areas to the transit network, either in place today or that may be in place should the system expand. If we go to the next slide, as Andrew mentioned, we're currently already measuring the, if you take a look at this chart, there's two ways we can take a look at this, and they're related, of course. The purple box shows you that if we are doing our job well, providing an excellent level of service and an attractive option for those who need to navigate the region, more and more individuals will choose to ride on the transit network and specifically on Metro. That's a good thing. We're tracking that. That's reported out in the vital signs on a quarterly basis already. The other effect here is that if we are continuing to do our job well, we actually provide an opportunity for those that are either moving within the region, coming to the region, or those that are providing new places for employment and housing and retail and amenities in the region to locate that growth at or near the transit network. And so the focus of this presentation in the KPI is how we choose to measure the share of growth that does take place within the transit catchment area, the area that can be best served by transit, and how that helps inform the extent to which we're doing our job well and essentially the market value of Metro in the region going forward. And I just want to make sure that we highlight one piece before we move on, that the purple box really can highlight areas where Metro staff and the system that we have and we operate today, these are things that we are working very hard to control, improve, and make the absolute best product in the market that we can. And it's important to recognize that there is a role for the jurisdictions to play in affecting and really making possible additional growth to take place at or near the areas where the transit system currently exists or will exist going forward. We'll illustrate how that looks like in a look back in a few slides, but in a nutshell, different jurisdictions approach this differently. Those jurisdictions that are able to really capitalize on the important transportation amenity that transit provides and locate growth, either an existing stock or a new stock, at those places where they can most easily access transit, will see a measurable increase in this measure as we report it back year over year. And also, we do know from countless research that's taken a look into this, we will see as a system increased ridership. We go to the next slide. So how are we going to do this? Well, first of all, we start with taking a look at what we call in transit plans the transit catchment area, which for us will is best defined as a half mile from the rail station areas and a quarter mile from the bus stops. And what we're going to be measuring year over year is the percent of the new household and eventually job growth that takes place in this in the compact zone that is locating within this transit catchment area. It's drawn on the left. You can see the red bubbles show you a half mile radius from Metro Rail. And it doesn't show as clearly as I would love it to, but the amoeba, if you will, on the right-hand side shows you the combination of Metro Rail and fiscally regional Metro Bus that is the geographies that are covered by that half-mile radius from Metro Rail and quarter-mile radius from the bus stops. So the question, again, we're going to be asking every single year is, the region absorbed X amount of new growth, new households, and over time, new jobs. How many of those new households and new jobs chose to locate, because it's essentially measuring a market response, how many of those new households and jobs located at or near or within the transit catchment area? So if we go forward, what this allows us to do is to sort of measure two effects. A, we can take a look at growth that takes place near transit because essentially we're measuring a market response. We provide a service that's valued in the marketplace and growth endogenously chooses to locate at a greater rate near the transit catchment area, in the transit catchment area, and or service changes. So if, as we move towards the opening of operation of the Silver Line, for instance, or as Mr. Requa mentioned, as we add bus service to St. Elizabeth's, we will see that we are essentially connecting new communities, adding service, and we'll be able to calculate and extract from the data files more households and more jobs that are within the transit catchment area. So go to the next slide. We're presenting to you a look back, just, and we can just to give you an illustration of what this would have looked like over the past 2 years. And so on the left-hand column, you can see the share of household growth in that year that occurred near Metro Rail. And on the right-hand column, you can see the share of household growth that took place within the catchment area of Metro Rail and regional Metro Bus. And we can see that it varies by jurisdiction. As a whole, we know that between 2010 and 2012, about 27% of the total household growth was captured within the transit catchment area, both within existing stock and new housing units that were developed. When we take a look at the catchment area that includes not just Metro Rail, but Metro Rail and regional Metro Bus, we get to 60%. So more than half, if you will, of the households that chose to move within the area, either new households or households that moved from place to place within the region, ended up within the transit catchment. We were essentially capturing 60%, if you will, of the community that was moving or choosing to locate within that time period. What we'll be able to do is, year over year, measure how well we are tracking against essentially a base year, which we'll have to define, which will in this case be defined as the 2013 data set, which we'll be able to track once it's released, and also be able to look back and see how this varies across our different jurisdictions that comprise the compact. And it'll be an interesting exercise, an interesting discussion. I'm looking forward to go back and forth and see what decisions we can make at Metro to make sure that we are better connecting communities, and also how we can work more closely with our jurisdictional partners to ensure that their land use decisions that reinforce the vision that Metro puts forward of a transit network that can best connect the region's portfolio of amenities, residents, and jobs. Go to the next slide. So one thing I know that we've discussed at length is what data we're including in the bus service. And I want to just put out there that we're up to us right now, and if we did have data that allowed us to do the calculation and include all, not only regional Metro bus that we provide, but also the local operators of bus, we would do that. At the in the current state of affairs, we don't have the local bus stop local bus providers updating the bus stop data on a regular and consistent basis, and we can't verify the accuracy of that data. In some cases, it's excellent. In some cases, we may have in the GIS file, if you will, just the line but not the stops. We don't know the schedule upon which it's updated, and we are not resourced at Metro to be the GIS data file creation department for all the 15 operators in the region. We brought this to the attention. I know that there was an effort before to see whether we can upgrade the local resources for that data provision, and when that is complete, we would be thrilled to include that measure internally. Another thing to note is that these development markets are inherently dynamic, and so that's the reason why we're taking a look at year over year as opposed to looking at the base. So, for example, in any given year, in a good economic year, we've been plugging away within the compact zone and adding about 16,000 jobs per year. So we'll be able to track not how much we're moving the entirety of growth that's already occurred in the network, but how much of those 16,000 jobs were we able to put within the transit zone in a given year. And this last bullet point, this is an interesting note just about data wizardry. We have very, very good data that we can report back year over year on the location of private sector jobs. And we can really pull it down to the address, the business, how many employees, sales volume, et cetera, et cetera. There isn't currently a wonderful resource that tells us exactly where, for example, military jobs are. And it's not always prudent for someone to pick up the phone, call DOD, and ask them where all the DOD employees happen to be located any given day. It doesn't really work well that way. So what we're proposing for this measure is that we take a look at the extent that private sector employment responds to the service we're providing. It tends to be more market responsive, both within economic cycles as well as their site selection factors really value proximity and connectivity, because connectivity is productivity. They tend to have growth cycles that are more measurable year over year, and they're less subject to non-market forces such as something like BRAC, which may make an arbitrary decision or a political decision about job location as opposed to a site selection decision based on connectivity and proximity. So I think with that, we'll go to the last slide and the next steps on this. And Andrea, I think you're going to wrap this up.
Sure. So as Shyam said, we're continuing to finalize the data source for employment and hoping to get the GIS data for the local bus stops, so kind of be a data collection effort for the next steps. I don't know if you want to say something about exploring the street network walk connectivity.
I could. When we took a look at the academic literature on how far do you go from the rail station, the data suggests that once you get past a certain distance or within a certain distance, the ridership numbers don't change. The attractiveness of the transit network and the ridership generation numbers don't change. What does have an important effect, though, is whether or not that rail station or bus stop is connected with an effective pedestrian access route. Or another way to say it is, if I can't get to the rail station, even though if I'm separated by physical infrastructure or a water body or a runway or what have you, it's not really a great measure. So we are right now innovating within planning a way to actually capture the pedestrian and street networks within those radii so we can report back on two aspects. Number one is, let's really refine that from just simply being a geometric shape to actually an accessible portion. And secondly, it allows us to interface directly with the work that's coming out of access services, and we're allowed to then, or we're capable of then measuring the extent to which the street networks surrounding our transit network are indeed accessible to those who wish to access it using both pedestrian and vehicular means.
Okay. And then in terms of building this into our reporting back to you going forward, we have been providing to you an annual report on all our KPIs, all our 12, and now we'll be adding an additional one in February of each year. That would be a look back to the calendar year. So our next annual vital signs report would be February 2014. I understand that we won't really have this data yet until the middle of 2014. So there'll probably be a standalone special report for the first go around. And then as we go forward, we'll incorporate this KPI into our regular reporting. And I just also wanted to clarify something that Sean said about the way we measure this in terms of ridership as another measure, kind of internal. Will people ride? That actually, we have some annual data on ridership and vital signs, but the quarterly ridership information comes from Carol as part of her financial reports. So I just wanted to clarify that.
That's correct. I apologize.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have a number of questions here. We'll start with Mr. Down, then work our way around.
KPIs are a series of performance indicators that we hold the general manager accountable for. That's why it's such a powerful tool, both internally and externally. The accountability for this particular measure is not metros. The accountability that we're measuring is the region's land use development process. This is not a regular KPI that we could have a perception that we have some degree of control or accountability over this. In that regard, I think it's difficult to have this be the lead visible performance indicator for our role in providing the transit connectivity for this region. I think my perception is that the board has not gone far enough about defining what it means about that particular objective for the authority. We have responsibilities in our fare collection system, for instance, to have it be openly accessible and transparent to the customer at all times across all modes that we provide. Regional communication, regional safety are all part of what we provide as services around connecting the region. And if the only articulated part of that is what we can measure, which is always, if you're talking about a key performance indicator, it has to be quantifiable and measurable and reportable on a quarterly basis, which is exclusive in its own right about what we can measure. I don't have any objection to it. I think this is a way of holding all of us in the region accountable for how we develop, but we need to set this aside and recognize it as a different kind of performance indicator, unless Rich wants to accept responsibility for the development patterns of the entire region. You go, Rich. And then have the board as well develop a better definition of what it sees the authority's responsibility in this area of connecting communities, because I think we have a leadership role going forward about providing the networks and systems that make all of the other 12 transit system providers part of a transparent network for all of our customers.
Mr. Belcher?
I couldn't agree more with the chairman, unless you all want to take on another performance indicator. I had a couple observations. One, where's our MPO on this matter? This seems to me to be a TPP matter, not in concert with Metro. Second, we should ask for a grant from the TPP, from their planning TL funds, to bulk up this initiative. If they're not going to do it and we're going to do it, then they should cede the planning dollars necessary to get the GIS, the data for the other transit operators. Third, where are the jurisdictions? If you looked at the chart about four back, there were some real winners and losers on that chart. And I would ask that the jurisdictions also be partner to this, because we're going to be using data, if we go forward with this KPI, that is, you know, the jurisdictions in this room, you know, from the District of Columbia to Montgomery to Prince George's and Fairfax, et cetera. So I wondered if they are partnered with us on this. And lastly, I just think, as Chairman Down said, I think we should have this KPI as over on the side, rather than being holding the management accountable for, obviously, things we cannot control, notably land use.
If I might,
got you out of this one. See,
if I might respond to Chairman Down's question, Mr. Belcher's question, with the information I have, both completely on point observations in that this really reflects the symbiotic relationship that Metro has with its jurisdictions, and the combined effect of land use planning and transportation planning to actually create a region that is connected by not just us, but also transit. One of the interesting aspects of this, as we poke into how TPB is forecasting trip demand, when they put forth a variety of scenarios recently exploring higher density, more bus, more transit, and they found that really 80% of the change in trip demand on transit actually came from changes in land use. They kept on adding more and more and more transit, but the bulk of the actual change came from changes in land use. And so what we're trying to do is just accept reality, and that without the land use changes, we could do all this stuff, but we actually need to be working with the jurisdictional partners and measuring that, so that not only are we doing our job, but we're also tracking the extent to which the land use decisions that are made at the local level support the transit network. That's something that within management we've been discussing and wrestling with how to do. To your first point, Mr. Belcher, I know that within the Regional Activity Centers work that's coming out from COG, they are also trying to measure the extent to which the Regional Activity Centers that they are proposing are connected by transit. And we have been working closely with Paul Desjardins at COG to make sure that the way we're looking at this is not, it's a slightly different way of doing the math, but they also are going forward and trying to be a force in measuring transit connectivity in their plans as well. As your second two questions, I don't know, but I can find out the extent to which there is grant money available to push the data collection effort. On our end, we do have the data at our fingertips to continue to monitor and measure the Metro-provided infrastructure both today and tomorrow going forward, and we would love to be able to include the local bus operators as well.
Well, in the new federal legislation, the MPO has to come up with performance measurements under MAP 21, and that they get planning money, but that's not going to kick in until 2014 at the earliest, and they have to come up with these metrics about how they're going to judge the performance of the metropolitan system, including transit. So it may be there may be a nexus here.
Yeah, Ms. Hampshire-Cowan is part of it, Ms. Hyde.
Thank you. I don't want to disagree with the chairman. I don't think it's good practice to disagree with the chairman. but I do want to express caution. And my caution is that I would not want his comments to be read as the board backing away from something we spent a lot of time on. which is acknowledging our role as an influencer and as a way to connect the region. We have few things that could connect this region, and I think the Redskins and Ramada about it. The Nationals, that's right, we got a team now. And obviously the Redskins have no authority to make a lot of things happen, but they knit us together. And I think that's an important role that we have, and I want to remind us to not back away from it, but be as aggressive about that as the other operational issues.
Okay. Ms. Porter?
I would like to agree with what was just said and also point out that we do have some control over this. This isn't simply the amount of growth that occurs during adjacent to existing bus stops and stations, but it also has to do with how much we direct our services toward where the growth is occurring. And we do have control over that part. You mentioned the Silver Line. You mentioned this new bus service to the Coast Guard facility. I would talk about the bus priority corridors being another example of where we can improve and extend services to places where growth is occurring. So I don't think this is totally out of our control. And I would really like to see a little bit more emphasis. I think this is a good way of looking at it. But I really would like to see more emphasis on what we can do. For example, slide you had, page 24 of 31, that looks at growth focusing near transit and then people will ride. There's actually a middle concept in there, which is growth focusing near transit, and to the extent that we can, we make sure that the transit extensions that we do go to where the growth is occurring. There's a concept that's missing in there. And I think that we could also extend that through some of the measurements that we do. We can look at how much of the new growth we are capturing with extensions to what we're doing. And that piece we do have control over. And so I would encourage us to maybe put a little bit more emphasis on that part.
Ms. Hines?
Thanks. It's nice to follow these two ladies because we're all in the same space, I think. And so I want to put on for a moment the fact that I chair the Region Forward Coalition for the Council of Governments. And 2 weeks from now, Paul Desjardins is coming and Ron Kirby from the TPB to fill us in on the work that they have been doing, which will give you a sense of kind of what do these activity centers mean, where are the opportunities. I can tell you there are 141 activity centers, 95 of them have some level of transit connectivity. So that means there's almost 50 that don't. And these are places that are regionally significant based on what the jurisdictions have in their planning. So there's a lot of thinking, I think, to do about how what we offer, what they do, and then TPB has its priority plan, which Ron will also share with us. So we can begin to see how these things are really a sandwich that, when it comes together, has the potential to, I think, provide far more connectivity for the region than we have right now. And it is, certainly jurisdictions have to do good land use planning. Certainly TPB has to do their job. But this activity center work that we are doing now is, for those of us who have been engaged in this for a while, this is a dynamic set of indicators now. It is not a static, we're putting it on the shelf and we're not coming back. It will be updated regularly. Some of the data that Sean's showing you is the same data that we're collecting with Region Forward to say, are we making progress? So I would say we are in what could be an extraordinary moment where these things get knit together in new ways. And we should walk into it believing that. And I hope when they come in 2 weeks, you'll begin to see some of the possibilities that I've been seeing for the last year and a half of how we could really get far more bang for the bucks we have than we have been getting in the past. So you know, I don't think this is not finished yet, and partly the reason we're having them come is so you can understand that work in its breadth.
Thank you. Mr. Nichols and Mr. Jinkle.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I did. I appreciate it. And actually, I always like talking near the end because I like to agree with everything that everybody said. And I actually agree strikingly with both what the chair has said and what Artis has expressed as well. And in the context that one of the reasons that this type of discussion is so difficult is that ordinarily in a single jurisdiction, whether it was in Maryland, whether it was in the District of Columbia, whether it was in Virginia or Delaware, you have a state that, or a jurisdiction that has authority and control over its overall growth development management strategy. In this case, there is no such thing. There is no regional development policy. There is no regional development authority that actually manages, to the extent that any authority can't, manage those outcomes, manage transportation investment, manage the development, land use, zoning, planning, development, and to ensure that there are no winners and losers, that it's a balanced, reasonably rational, planned economic development transit strategy. So that doesn't exist in our region insofar as a single authority. We are probably the closest thing to any entity that has any direct, contracted, obligated influence on that activity. And I think to that extent, I think we really have an obligation to examine those issues, and at least as a playing field leveler, to identify the issues, to raise it, to surface it, so that it's understood what impact, from a regional standpoint, our transit investment has on the marketplace. A couple of things strike me about the, first off, I like the presentation. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I think that it is important data to surface. I think that the dependencies are there. I think one of the things I think it's important to note, and it's obvious by the data, is that not only we're measuring the impact, the after effects, but I think what the reality is, they aren't coincidental. That I would venture to say it's less that people are marketing and attracting to those investments than it is, in fact, many of your local communities are actually in the process of examining development opportunities to the extent that infrastructure is in place. So you may have a development that's going to be built 5 years from now, but it can only be built because that infrastructure is in place and permitted in terms of how much road traffic it'll bear, how many cars it'll bear, how much housing is there. So the dependency is actually a lot closer than we acknowledge in terms of why it takes place. The other piece I think that's important to maybe look at is, and you did discuss it, but we talk about the amenities around the region. Our transit is actually an amenity as well. The system's an amenity. I think we should leverage it in that way as well. When jurisdictions approve development, compete for development, when developers look for opportunities to place investment, they look at that as a lever for making their development successful, and those communities look at it as it must be in place before we'll permit you to build the next 300,000 square feet. So there's a direct connection in that. The last piece, and I've talked about it a little bit in the past, I think that we need to look at it, an additional set of data, and Sean and I talked about this as we've seen in casual meetings and sat around, that we really need to try to develop an index that talks about what the quantitative, the dollar investment that we put into transit yields in terms of the economic development that results. Now, we talk about it in terms of jobs. We talk about it in terms of growth. But I think we need to take that very specifically to look at what the real dollar impact is of the investment that we make in transit in terms of what it results in terms of tax dollars, tax revenue, in terms of jobs, in terms of the economic spinoff that it generates. And there's a real dollar investment and payoff there that we don't really crystallize and bring to the fore, particularly where communities can invest more and realize the outcome. We're in a position to really make that happen. Last comment, sorry to take up so much time. The last comment is that with respect to the data, and this may not be feasible, but there's a lot of horsepower throughout the region in terms of GIS systems. Some of the major corporations have enormous capacity, not that they just want to give it away. And a lot of the local jurisdictions, a lot of the planning agencies have enormous capacity. And there may be a way to identify some of those resources that would privately help or through collaboration to expand the data set, because I don't think we can invest too much in bringing the data out in a way that it levels the information base and people can attach it. So thank you. It's a good presentation.
Thank you. Mr. Dean Colvin.
Yeah, thank you for the briefing, and certainly comments of my colleagues are great as always. Just a couple quick items. One, I would hope that we've also gone around the country, maybe even also internationally, to see what kind of things other communities and systems are doing. It'd be interesting because I know there's, when I read Transportation Research Board material, there's always a lot of items on land use, and certainly the transit element is an important piece of that. I'm not so sure that the end product, the KPI, is where we're heading on this. You know, this index won't really tell us much, but all the elements of that index will tell us a lot. You know, whether it's the walkability of around stations, whether it's where the land use is affecting housing location, how is transit access in some of our corridors. So I can almost see us, it's a very useful exercise to go through and also to take a look at all the elements and then follow those. And certainly I would agree with Mr. Downs that this is not a measure for the general manager's performance. This is something for us to learn as well as we go through these various elements and look at the various elements of this. This is also an educational process for the community and all our fellow agencies and stakeholders. So I see value in the process.
Ms. Hudges and Mr. Downey.
Thank you. I think the presentation has been very good because I was reflecting back to the point that we last meeting had all of our partners here, and we had our other stakeholders that have such a major role in what we do and why their role is important. And I think it is that ability to influence these things that are so important as we make an investment in transit. And while we talk about the Transportation Planning Board, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, we all recognize, as Mr. Nichols has indicated, we truly are independent, but we can be a great influence as to what can happen. And I think your point on the index is a very good one there. Hines and I are within a jurisdiction, but we don't approve each other's planning. It's pretty obvious. But we hope that we can influence each other in that, because there is a value that's returned. And to me, that's the connectivity part that we bring to the community, that we are really building communities by providing that vast infrastructure investment. And that investment has to be measured and demonstrated in a way. I think the hardest part is our TPB role, because of just that. We are perceived to be the planning organization. And the TPB planning organization has a role, but in the end, it still goes back to the local jurisdiction. The most influential part that we can do at that is to show what really is our return investment in our communities for walkability, transit access, and those things. And so it's an indirect way of measuring what we need. I agree that it's not the general manager's, but in the end, it's what we want to be able to influence the larger community, that when we provide these services, you have an awful lot of growth that comes from it, that gives you a return value and gives us also that return value. So I think we're on the right track. I think we just have a lot of work to do. And to the point of TPB and its data, I think we have a lot of connecting points that we can come together on, because I think we're all doing the same thing, are working on the same thing, different parts of each, and that's where I think we're going to make the progress there.
Mr. Downey?
Yeah, thank you. I think the measure we have here is a great step towards defining the decisions of a lot of different people on how we are making this a transit-friendly region. I think as we look at it over time, we also ought to look at how effectively are we capturing the potential ridership that's created. If we see a part of the region that is now growing more of their population into our catchment area, are we seeing similar increases in ridership? And if not, what should we be doing about it?
Thank you. Any other questions? Donna, it was a very good discussion, and I assume that you'll be bringing this back to us before we finalize it, or is there – there was a lot of – no? The KPI? It'll just show up. Okay.
Are there any other items to be brought for this committee? Not, this meeting is adjourned.